Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Samach. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, about six lines up at Tanu Rabbanan. Today on Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about what if a Kohen Gadol marries someone that he shouldn't. What does it mean, what if? So what if means two things. It means, does he have to get divorced? And it also means, what happens to the kid? Is the kid a chalal? What's the status of the child? We're also going to discuss who a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metame to. And the reason we're going to discuss that is because it may relate very much to who a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry, meaning Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metame to his Zayin Krovin. But let's take his sister, for example. He's allowed to be Matami to his sister, but only at certain stages in life. Maybe those stages in life where she's a Bu'ula, she's a Nesua, meaning the kind of people that a Kohen Gadol would not be allowed to marry, that's when the Kohen Hedyot would not be able to be Matami to her. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about whether a Kohen, a regular Kohen, is allowed to marry a Gioris who's Pchusim Bashol Shon Miomech, a girl who was Megayer before the age of 3, where we know that she's definitely not a Bu'ula because the Basula. So he's a Kohen allowed to be metame to her, and the Gemara is going to mention how they used to test if a woman was Ru'uya Labia, and a different test that they would do to see if a woman was in fact a Basula or a Bu'ula, some sort of physical test that they did to see if a woman was a Basula or a Bu'ula. So let's begin at the Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, six lines before the end of the page. Or seven lines before the end of the page on Nun Tes and Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, Anusas Atzmo Umufutas Atzmo Lo Yisa. If the Kohen Gadol is Ma'anes or Mefate, a woman, he's not allowed to marry her because she is a Bu'ula. She's a Bu'ula because of him, but she is a Bu'ula. Vim Nasa Nasa. If he does marry her, then they're married. There's nothing, well, we'll see what exactly that means. Anusas Chavero Umufutas Chavero Lo Yisa. If someone else was Ma'anes or Mefate of this woman, he's not allowed to marry her because, again, she's not a Besula, and Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. But Vim Nasa, if he does marry this girl who is not a Besula because someone else was Ma'anes or Mefat to her, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Avlad Chalol V'Chamam Omer Avlad Kasher. We have a machlokas what the status of the child is going to be. Is the child going to be Chalol or is the child going to be Kasher? So the Gemara now is going to analyze this Braisa. Im Nasa Nasvi. So we said that if it's Anusas Atzmo or Mefutas Atzmo, if he marries a girl that he himself was Ma'anes or he himself was Mefata, so Nasa Nasa, they remain married. Amrav Unamrav Umotzi Beget. They remain married just means that they're married right now, but he still has an obligation to get rid of her. He's still living in sin as long as he stays married to her. So he has to get rid of her, he has to give her a get, he has to divorce her. So why do we say Nasa Nasa? Nasa Nasa sounds like you can leave it alone, that they can remain married. So what does it mean Nasa Nasa if he has to divorce her? Now what it means is that normally when a guy is Mefata a girl, he has to pay a certain knas. But if he then marries her, he's pater from paying the knas. Im Nasa Nasa means that a Kohen Gadol is Mefata the girl, and then he marries her, that marriage is enough to exempt him from the knas. He's still going to have to divorce her. He's not going to be able to stay married to her, but it's enough to exempt him from the knas. If you look at Rashi, Shem Mufutahi, Ahanu Le Nisuin Lemiftere Miknasa, that his Nisuin is strong enough to exempt him from the knas. Shemafatim Meshalim Knasa Lik Shein Konsa, because a Mefata only pays knas when he doesn't marry her. Dechsivim Ma'ein Yima'ein. Pasuk says if he refuses to marry her, he pays the knas. Aval in Mahari Ma'arena Lo Liisha Lo Yiten Klum. But if he marries her, he doesn't have to pay anything. Aval onus, no sin miyada filui konsa. It happens to be by the case where he's ma'anis her, he's going to always have to pay the knas, even if he does marry her. First it says he gives the knas by onus, and then it says, velosi elisha, he marries her. It's dafka by a mufuta that marrying her will exempt him from the knas. Tosos has kashavim tomar, v'kivin to buy a get, vislo ksuba, kamal manul kohen gadol, v'yesh lo ksuba, k'tamrin, v'yesh mataros, afagav da asur menator, v'imkein, may naf kamina den mishan knas. Hariyesh lo ksuba, Malik Knas Malik Suba. Tos has a very sharp cash. He says, wait a second. He's not paying the Knas, but now he's marrying her. And he's going to have to divorce her. And once he divorces a woman that he's married to, he has to pay a Ksuba. So either way, he's paying the money. What difference does it make whether you call it Knas or whether you call it Ksuba? Either way, he's got to pay the money. So what's the Lamay Nafkamina, whether he's Pata from Knas and Chayiv and Ksuba, or Pata from Ksuba and Chayiv and Knas? Either way, he's paying. So Tos suggests four different answers. First, Tos suggests for Marie, a woman could be mochel luksuba. Tos Rabbeinu Peretz adds, and she can't be mochel her knas. That's a punishment that he needs to go through in order to get. get his kapara, so he needs to pay the knas. So a woman could be mochel the ksuba, it's a chiv in dini mamnis, but she cannot be mochel the knas. So that would be a big nafkamina. Va'o nafkamina, delo mishali mini idis kidin knas, al mina ziburis kidin ksubasisha. When a man pays knas, if he doesn't have cash, he has to pay from properties. What kind of property do you pay from? His highest quality, his medium quality, his lowest quality. So when paying from knas, he has to pay from his idis, from his best. When paying for ksubasisha, he could pay from the ziburis, he could pay from his lowest level properties. So that's another nafkamina, whether we call the payment knas or whether we call it ksuba. Va'od the ksubas bu'ulud rabbanan. Third nafkamina is knas is a chiyuv d'araisa. If you call it ksuba, then it's only a chiyuv midrabbanan, because a ksuba of a besula may be midaraisa, but a ksuba of a bu'ula is only drabbanan. Va'onir da'adam rav motzi beget ha'inu midrabbanan. And also, when we say motzi beget, that might only be a din midrabbanan. So the chiyuv to pay the ksuba at all may only be a din drabbanan over here, because it could be that he doesn't have to even divorce her on a d'araisa level. Yosef points out that there could be differences in the amount that you pay for knas and the amount of money you pay for ksuva. He says, knas is chamishim kesef, which is chamishim sla'im, which is masayim dinarim, 200 dinar, where every sela is 4 dinars. A ksuba of an anusa mufuta, where she's no longer a basula, is only a mana, it's not masayim, it's only mea dinar. So it's that's in Mukha Yosef writes, and that's assuming, like many other Rishonim who say that way, that this ksuba of a woman who this man himself was ma'anis or mefata is going to be a ksubas bu'ula. It's not going to be a ksubas basula. So the ksuba is actually going to be only half the amount that the kanas payment would have been. So that's a significant nafkamina in terms of whether it's whether we call this payment ksuba, whether we call it knas, is how much it's going to have to be. And also, the Mukhei also points out the Gemara Baba Kamed of Lamed Vav and Beis tells us that kol kesef ha'amur b'Torah kesef tzuri v'shel devrayim, that the kesef medina, that any kesef that the Torah requires you to pay is kesef tzuri, a certain type of currency, but any kesef that is only chiv midrabbanan is kesef medina, which is only 1/8 of kesef tzuri. So the money that you're mishalim to the anusa as for her ksuba, because after all she's not a basula, so she's not going to get masayim, she's only going to get mana. Since it's only a chiv midrabanan, that mana is mana medina, which is only 12.5 dinarim of kesef tzuri. So it's way, way less. Forget about it only being half, just the currency that you use is way less, Numukai Yosef points out. Now, the truth is, it's machlok's Rishonim, what Numukai Yosef is assuming. He's assuming the ksuba is a lower number. He's assuming the ksuba is only a mana because she's a bu'ula. But who made her a bu'ula? This guy himself made her a bu'ula. That's what Rav Zilberstein points out. How did this guy become the Kohen Gadol? Yeah, the guy is ma'anis a woman, he's mafata a woman. What's going on over here? He discusses this in the context of at what point do you fire a rabbi? So probably at that point, right? If he's how did this guy ever become the Kohen Gadol? So he points out that the Gemara is going to say later on that we had all sorts of bad people become Kohanim Gadol. It wasn't so uncommon. Obviously, the Gemara is not even talking lemaisa that this story happened. The Gemara is speaking theoretically, but it wouldn't have been so out of the question at certain points, unfortunately, in Jewish history, that you'd have such a Kohen Gadol. But anyway, the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph of Chusnara Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes that if he wants to marry her, he doesn't have to pay the knas. El kosiv laksuba kishara besulos, the Rambam says. He gives her a ksuba like a besula. So the Rambam is against this in Mukhei Yosef. Mukhei Yosef and the Ritva assume that since she's no longer a besula, he only gives her mana, he only gives her a ksubas bula. The Rambam says not that way. He gives her a ksubas besula. Mishnah Melech says he doesn't understand the Rambam. Kosov, she is a bu'ula, so why is she getting a ksubas besula? So there are all sorts of different explanations of the Achronim. It happens to be Ramesha discusses in Ebn Ezra Chelek Aleph Sim Kof Aleph, a guy who married, got legally married without getting halachically married. Right? A couple was Jewish but not religious, and they got legally married, and now they decided to become Balei Tshuva, and they want to get a kosher Jewish marriage with a ksuba and everything. So what kind of ksuba do you write? Do you write a ksubas masayim, a ksubas pesula, or do you write a ksuba where she only gets mana? So Rav Moshe says, according to the Rambam, that a mufuta is ksubas kibesula, that if this man was mefata her ksuba is the same as ksubas ksuba as a basula, because she's a bu'ula mimenu. She's a bu'ula from him. She's not a bu'ula from anyone else. And therefore, according to the Rambam, he says, l'chora, it would be a ksuba of Masayim. Meaning, Ramesha connects it to this machlokas rishonim. The way other achronim understand the Rambam would not really connect, but that's the way Ramesha connects it to this machlokas. Okay, so says the Gemara, Azul Rav Gavia mi Beit Kasil, on top line of Samach Amar Alpha. Azul Rav Gavia mi Beit Kasil, Amr L'Shmaita Kamed Rav Ashi. So he said this over, this statement of Rav Huna, that you have to divorce, that even that when a man is Mefator Ma'an, Kohen Gadol's Mefator Ma'anis, a woman, and then he marries her, he has to divorce her. So he said this in front of Rav Ashi, Arm Leva, Rav Rabbi Yochel, and Amri Tavayu, Bogeris Mukaseitz Lo Yisavim Nasan Nasui. But we say that a Bogeris and Mukaseitz, he's not allowed to marry, and if he marries them, he stays married to them. Alma Sofalios Bogeris Taktov, Sofalios Mukaseitz Taktov. Because why does he stay married to them? Because that's a physical condition that they're anyway going to have. And Mukasei, it's what, that her Basulim are removed? Once she's married to him for a while, the Basulim will be removed anyhow. So Achanami, Sofalios Bu'ula Taktov. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Now what, he was Mefater, so she's a Bu'ula. Now that he marries her, he has to divorce her? Why does he have to divorce her? Ultimately, she would have been a Bu'ula anyway. So the Gemara Kasha, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Doesn't say Tiyufta, but says it's at least a Kasha. Anusas chaveru mufutas chaveru lo yisa, v'im nasa, reblaz bin Yaakov omer, avlal chala, v'chamra mevlal kasha. We said that if someone else was Ma'anes or Mefater, the girl, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her, and if he does marry her, that's machlokas tanoim, whether the vlad is going to be a chala or the vlad is going to be kasha. We pass on like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that the vlad is a chalal. The offspring of such a marriage is a chalal. That the vlad is a chalal. Others say that they start discussing why does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hold that the vlad is a chalal? Someone else is mefata this girl. Kohen Gadol marries her. Why does that produce a vlad that's a chalal? So savor like Rav Elazar, because he assumes like Rav Elazar that Rav Elazar holds that pan. Habala Pnuya, that when a single guy and a single girl have bia shalol shemishos, they just sleep together so without any intention for marriage, that makes her a zona. So if she's a zona, so it's so there's nisra lav. So when there's nisra, there's chayavi lav and lakuna is going to create a vlad that's a chalal. So that's why the vlad is a chalal. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds the vlad is a chalal because the woman has the status of a zona. So in fact, the Gemara misav lakavasei. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov really hold like Rabbi Elazar that upon Habala Pnuya has status of his own, Vakaimelon Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. But generally speaking, we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We always say Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Kav means it's a small measurement as a kav. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't talk all that much. He doesn't have that many shitos. So there's a small number of places where his shitos come up, but naki. But whatever he does say is absolutely pristine. It's absolutely perfect. So that's one of the klalei apsak. We always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's because Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. V'ilu baha amravam. But we don't generally paskin like Rav Elazar that panuya bala panuya the vlad is a that makes her a zona. So how can we say that we paskin like Rav Elazar that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov shita is based on Rav Elazar? We don't paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. We do paskin like kasha. So the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Now we've mentioned in the past this rule of Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki, and therefore we always pass on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Not so clear where this applies. The wording implies Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki. When Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, now Mishnas could just mean teachings. The teachings of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov are few and perfect, and we always pass on like it. Or it could mean literally when Rav Elazar ben Yaakov speaks in a Mishnah, it's Kav Vinaki. But in a Braisa, maybe Rav Elazar ben Yaakov comes up more often, and we don't always paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in the Braisa. Rav Ranchberg on Mem Tes on Beis points out from here that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that the rule of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is in a Braisa and not in the Mishnah. We would still say that it's Kavanaki, which is the sheet of Rashi over there in Mem Tes on Beis, and the sheet of the Rashbam in Babas Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. That even when he says something in a Braisa, we would still paskin like him. It's not only a rule in the Mishnah, and he uses this as a kasha that in the Mishnah it says that Mishnas of Kavanaki on those, he uses this as a kasha on those Rishonim that disagree, and that would say that that it's Mishnas of Kavanaki only in the Mishnah and not in a Braisa. And then he concludes, says Marav Ranchberg, that it's not just a Machlokas Rishonim whether this applies to a Mishnah and not a Braisa, it's or even to Braisas, it's a Machlokas in Sugis and Shas. The in Daf Lamed Zainun Beis, the Gemara says, in order that we shouldn't ask a hilchasa, we shouldn't ask a stira. And how we paskin that Abaye and Rava, that they line up Rav Elazar and Yaakov in a brisa to their opinion, because that's how we paskin the halacha. So there shouldn't be a stira between what he says and what the halacha is and what they're saying. So you see clearly that Abaye and Rava are assuming that they need to take Rav Elazar and Yaakov's shita in a brisa and conform to that shita, because they hold the Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki means not just in the Mishnah, even in a brisa. That's what appears in Lamed Zayin and Beis. Whereas over here, the Gemara's Mesayim, so I would have been Medayik that our Gemara says the same thing, right? That over here we're talking about Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in a brisa, and we say Mishnah Rav Kavanaki. Rav Ranshberg says, no, the opposite. Because our Gemara ends with Kasha. What it should have ended with is Tiyufta. Tiyufta is a much stronger lashon. Our Gemara says, how could it be that Reb Lazar ben Yaakov is based on the sheet of Reb Lazar? We don't paskin like Reb Lazar, and we have to paskin like Reb Lazar ben Yaakov because Mishnah so kavinaki. So Gemara says kasha. Why didn't it say Tiyufta? It sounds like a very strong kasha. Says Rav Ranshberg, it must be that there's an answer to this kasha. What's the answer to this kasha? It's only a brisa over here. It's not a Mishnah. So we don't really need to paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov over here. So he says, you see, it's a stira and sugyas. So if it's stira and sugyas, that's where the machlokas in the Rishonim comes from. Which sugya we should actually paskin like in terms of the parameters of the rule that Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kavanaki. Vaiter in the Gemara now, Ravashi Amar b'yesh chalal mechayav yaseh kamiflugi. The machlokas, when a Kohen Gadol marries Anusas Umufutas Chavero, a girl that someone else was Ma'anis or Mefata, a Kohen Gadol marries her and has a child with her. The Machlokas, whether that child is a Chalal or whether that child is a Kasher, is the Machlokas about Yesh Chalal Mechayav Yaseh. When someone violates Chayav Yaseh, is the offspring going to be a Chalal? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Savar Yesh Chalal Mechayav Yaseh. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says yes, the child is going to be a Chalal. So when the Kohen Gadol marries Mefutas Chavero or Anusas Chavero, he's in violation of an assay, and that's going to create Chalolos. For Rabbanan Savri, ain Chal Mechayav Yaseh. And the Rabbanan say, no, it's not going to create Chalolos. There's no Chalolos from Mechayav Yaseh. My time is the Blazman Yaakov. Where does the Blazman Yaakov get the idea that there is Chalolos? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Almana Ugrusha Vechalol Zona, Es Eila Lo Yikach, Kiyim Besula, describes who a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry. We've pointed out before the Pasuk that describes who the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry mentions several people that a Kohen is also not allowed to marry, that a Kohen Hadot is also not allowed to marry. But anyway, it says that he's not allowed to marry these people, but he has to take a Besula. Uksiv v'lo yichal zaru b'yamav. And it says that he shouldn't create Chalalos. That implies Akulu, that not only does it create a problem of a Chalal, if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, or a Grusha, or a Chalala, or a Zona, where it's a Losa, but Kiyim Besula. Anyone who's not a Besula, where it's only a Mitzvah Sasei that he has to marry a Besula, anyone that's an Isra Sasei, she's Befutas Chavero, she's Anusas Chavero, so she's not a Lo Sasei, she's only an Asei. Still, it's V'lo Yichal Zaro, it's still going to create Chalolos. V'Rabbanan, Eila Hivsika Inyan. And the Rabbanan say, no, the word Eila breaks up the Chayavi Lo Sasei and the Chayavi Asei to tell us that the V'lo Yichal Zaro is only going on the Chayavi Lo Sasei, not on the Chayavi Asei. Which Tosus points out is a little bit funny, because the Pasuk first lists the Chayave Lo Saseh, then says Eile, and then says Kiyim Besula, then says the Asei, and then tells us about Chalalus. So if the Eile is Hifsika Inyan, if anything, you would say that the Chalalus goes on the Chiyuv Asei, on the Besula, on the Kiyim Besula part, which is the most recent part. But Tosus is totally not Mistaver to say such a thing. That when only Chayavi Asei are going to create Chalalus, not Chayavi Los Asei, Tosus points out, V'lo Mekamina lo yichal abu'ula, avlagav demina salik, mishum demistaver tfeiluk mea Chayavi Lavin. It's much more Mistaver to assume that the Chalalus is created by the greater Isser, which is Chayavi Lavin, rather than Chayav Yasei. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Eila Lemute Nida. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, Eila is not Hifsik Inyan. Eila is not there to distinguish between Chayav Elos Asei and Chayav Yasei. All of them are going to create Chalalos. What Eila is there to teach me is to exclude a Nida from the Isser. That if a Kohen is Baal Ishto Nida, the Vlad is not going to be a Chalal, even though it's a very terrible Isser. It's worse than an Asei, it's worse than a Lav, it's a Chiv Kares to be Baal a Nida. But nevertheless, the child is not going to be a Chalal when when Kohen is Bovel Ishto Nida. Keman Oza Hadatanya Me'ila Ata Osechol V'yata Osechol Minida. Who are we assuming, like the Brisa that tells us that a Kohen who's Bovel Ishto Nida and has a child, that the child is not going to be a Chalal? Keman, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's exactly like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Darshan from the word Ve'ela. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Nichtve Le'ela Le'Besof. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, shouldn't the word Ela have appeared at the end then? I mean, if it's not there to be Mafsik Ha'inyan, to distinguish between the Los Hasays and the Pasuk and the Hasays and the Pasuk, shouldn't we have given the entire list of who Kohen Gadol can and cannot marry and then said the word Ela to be Mimai Nida from Chalalus? Says Gemara Kasha, that's Taka difficulty, why it happens that way. Now the Rambam Paskins in Isuribiyah, in Perikitas Vilchis Isuribiyah, the Rambam Paskins that a Kohen who's Baal Ervam and Arayos Chutz Minida makes that woman into a Zona, and if he's Chazru Baal Laha, he or some other Kohen, it makes her into a Chalala, because once she's a Zona, she's a Los Hasei, and then if a Kohen is with a Zona, that makes her into a Chalala. But a Nida, apparently, not only does she not become a Chalala when he's Bovel a Nida, she doesn't even become a Zona, the Rambam implies. That when a man is Bovel Ishto Nida, she doesn't, he won't make her a Chalala, nor will he make her a Zona. That's what the Rambam paskens explicitly, that a Kohen Shabal a Nida, Havlad Kasher, because the Isser Nida is not Miyuchad B'Kohanim. It's an Isser that's Shava B'Kol. So since it's not a Kohen-related Isser, it's not going to affect the Kohuna status of the child. It may affect the overall status of the child, but it's not going to affect the Kohuna status of the child, because the Isser was not an Isser Kohuna, it's just a general Isser of Nida. For that would apply equally to everybody. The Rashba also, Netshuva, Paskin is based on our Sugya, that not only is not a Chalal, but the woman does not become a Zona, because if it would be that the woman would be a Zona, then by definition the child would be a Chalal. And the Rambam writes also in Perek Tezvav Vilchus Yisurabiyah, the Vlad min Anida is not a Mamzer, but he is, the Rambam says, what we call Pagum, that the Vlad from Anida is going to be considered to be Pagum. What does Pagum mean exactly? It's a very slippery term. It's very hard to pinpoint exactly what does that say about the person. The Rush writes in the Tshuva, the Rush writes that he's Kasha Lekuhuna, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says. Shulchan Aruch says that even if he's Pagum, he's not a Mamzer, even Midrabanan. And the Achronim explain, Chatz Mechokek and the Yam Shoshom, others explain, it means that he's not even Pagum Lekuhuna, he's Mekulkal in some way. Meaning he's not from he's considered to be a lack of Yichlus, and it's Roy Laharchik Mehem. He's a little bit of a problem. The Gra adds he's an az panim, that it's going to be pogim in the midos of the child, that if the child is born from a mother who is a nida at the time of conception, will be an az panim, will be pogim in the midos. That's Rav Moshe's famous tshuva. A bachar asked Rav Moshe if he was dating a girl who is a balas tshuva. So he said, she's a wonderful girl, she has beautiful midos. Problem is, she's a balas tshuva, she comes from an out-from family. So her mother was vaday anida when she was conceived. So should I assume that she has this sense of az panim? I don't see it. I see that she's a wonderful balas midos tavos. But maybe, the shoal said, maybe she's so good and so strong that she's able to overcome that inclination. But that inclination is still in the DNA. And that's going to be passed on to the next generation, and that's going to be a problem in the next generation. So Rav Moshe says, as only Rav Moshe could say with his broad shoulders, he says, Stama, the mother wasn't in Nida at the time. I can say, she'll tell you, she never went to the mikveh. Yeah, but she went to the beach. So Mestama, she went to the beach, and she went into the ocean, and that counted as a tvila, and the bathing suit must have been loose-fitting, so there was no chatzitza. So Mestama, she wasn't in Nida. Meaning, if the assumption is that the Vlad is Pogum, and Sanad is Panim, and you see that there's no Azuz Panim, so that Mestama, that she's not in Nida. So that's what Moshe writes. Tan Rabbanan. Everybody says follows. This Bryce is going to talk about what age or what stage of life a sister of a Kohen can be at, where the Kohen is allowed to be metame to her if she dies, and when he cannot be metame to her. So four halachas. Halacha number one, achoso arusa. If his sister is an arusa, she has erusin with another man, Ramei Rabbi Yehuda omri metamela, Rabbi Yosef B'Shimon omri ein metamela. Machlokas tanam, Ramei Rabbi Yehuda say he can be metame to her, Rabbi Yosef B'Shimon say he cannot be metame to her. Anusa umafuta, divrei hakol ein metamela. Halacha number two, if she's an anusa or a mafuta, so she's not married to anyone, but she was the victim of an anus or someone who's mefater, the halacha is he cannot be metamiter.
Bumuka say it's halacha number 3. Ain mitame la divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon also cannot be mitameter if she's a muka say it's shayi Rabbi Shimon omer ruil koin gadol mitame la shein ruil koin gadol ain mitame la. This is why this comes up here, that Rabbi Shimon holds that only a woman who's royal koin gadol who would be allowed to marry koin gadol can a koin hedyot be mitameter if she's his sister. But if she's a woman who would not be allowed to marry koin gadol, then the koin hedyot would not be allowed to be mitameter. Uben halacha number 4, ubageres mitame la divrei kaladam. Everyone would hold he's allowed to be mitami to a begaris. But wait a second, Rabbi Shimon just said the rule that anyone who kohen gadol is not allowed to marry, the kohen gadol shouldn't be mitami to. And we have shitas from Mary that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry in begaris. So how come he's allowed to be mitami to? So Rashi points out, we're going to see soon that there's a special riboy in the pasuk that he could definitely be mitami to achoso begaris. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reasoning for Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda held that if she's an arusa, that he's allowed to be mitami to her, even though she has erusin with another man. They darsh in the pasuk as follows. It's important to know what the psukim actually say when we see these drashos. Pasuk reads, "Ulaachosu habesula hakrovai lav asher lo haisol leish." Who is a kohen allowed to be mitami to? What kind of sister? A sister is a besula, that's krova a love, that was never haisa le'ish, to her he can be mitame. So look how we dash in the pasuk. Ulachosa besula, to a sister is a besula, that comes to tell me prat la anusa mufuta, that he can't be mitame to an anusa mufuta because she's not a besula anymore. Yachl shani motzi af mukaseitz. I'll say, okay, so she's not. You know who else isn't a besula? A mukaseitz isn't a besula. He shouldn't be allowed to be mitame to her either. Tamadomer, that's why the pasuk goes on to say, ashalo haisa li'ish. That was never li'ish. Her issue has to be that she lost her besulim from an ish, not that she lost her besulim from being a mukaseitz. Hakrova. Now, the reason I said it's important to know what the pasuk actually says is because the gemara is going out of order in darshaning the pasuk. It's taking the phrases out of order over here. So that's pointed out by the rishonim already that the gemara does this because ashaloi sali ish is after hakrova. So anyway, hakrova l'rabos harusa. Hakrova comes to tell me to include an arusa as well, that he can be mitamiter. A love l'rabos habogeres, and a love comes to tell me that it can be mitamiter if she's a bogeres. Halam li krav amra meir besula afilu miksas besula mashma. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that it can be mitame to a bogeres? Rameir learns that besula means even miksas besula. So if it says that if he's allowed to be mitame to achosa besula, that alone should have taught me he's allowed to be mitame even to bogeres because she has miksas besula. Says Mar Istrich. Now, one might have thought to learn the definition of besula from there. Very cryptic. What does that mean? From there. Where's there? Says Rashi, ki yimatzei ish na'ara besula, where the pasuk explicitly refers to a na'ara besula. And I would say, mala halan na'ara, meaning from the Kohen God, mala halan na'ara, afka nami na'ara, meaning from a case of onus mefata, that's ki yimatzei ish na'ara besula, that he's ma'anis or mefater. So just like over there, it's dafka din in na'ara, I would have thought over here also, it's only na'ara, kamash mulan. That's why I need a special drasha, tell me that the term besula is not going to be limited over here to Nara. Tais says, what do you mean? It's talking about, Mehasam talks about something that our sugya never even spoke about, that it's talking about an anusa, mefuta. We're talking about a kohen gadol over here. So if anything, Mehasam says to us, is mekohen gadol. Not to just bring in a new topic and call that Mehasam, that the Gemara would have said explicitly. The Gemara is obviously assuming that we know what we're talking about over here. So it must be that we're talking about that Mehasam refers to kohen gadol. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, my tamayu. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon? Now keep in mind, this is all in the first halacha of this brisa, that if his sister was an arusa, Rameir Rabbi Yehuda said that he's allowed to be metameter. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon said no, cannot be metameter. So where do they get that from the pasuk? Darshi hachi, they darshin the pasuk, but they darshin it as follows: Ula achosa besula. Prat la anusa mufutu mukaseitz. He's allowed to be mitame to his sister as a besula, meaning not if she's an anusa mufutu or a mukaseitz. Asher lo haisa. Prat la arusa. Asher lo haisa means she never had havaya bi ishachar. She was never even married on any level to an ishachar. Not just that she didn't have nisuin, she didn't have erisin with an ishachar. Hakrova l'rabos arusa sheniskarsha. Hakrova comes to tell me that if she once had erisin but has since been divorced from erisin, then he's allowed to be matami to that sister. A love l'rabos habogeres. And a love comes to tell me that even if she's a bogeres, he's allowed to be matami to her, to
ta'achoso bogeres. That he's allowed to be metameter. The Rishonim have a machlokas. What would the Tanaim hold about tumala achoso shenuchnas alechupa v'lo nivela? Right, we talk about over here in Arusa sheniskarsha and Arusa. Arusa, you have a machlokas between just a regular Arusa when she's still bears, and you have the machlokas between Rabbi Rabbi on the one hand and Rabbi Yosef Shimon on the other hand. What if she was ready nichnas lechupa? So it's not just an Arusa, but lo nivela. So the Aruch Liner arranges all the shittos. There are basically three different shittos in Rishonim what the halacha would be over here in that case. Also interesting, the Rambam paskins that achosu nesua is not going to be metame even if she's nesua lekohen. The Rambam points out that it doesn't matter who she's in nesua to. Once your sister is married, even if she's in nesua lekohen, the kohen is not allowed to be metame to the sister. And it's interesting, Shulchan Aruch quotes that same lashon. Shulchan Aruch, it's not surprising. Shulchan Aruch always quotes the lashon of the Rambam whenever he can. Whenever he agrees fully with the Rambam, he tries to use the lashon of the Rambam. But that same lashon, that same very unusual lashon, that even if she's nesua lekohen, so the Achronim are bothered. The Bach already asks, "Meichi tesi to be mechalik be who she's nesua to? Why would I think that if she's nesua to a kohen, it should be any different than if she's nesua to anybody else?" So in the Masivt over here, quotes from the Sefer Teferis Lemoshe, that's miyashiv as follows: that there's makom to have argued that the fact that that which the Torah asks a kohen to be metame to his married sister, that's only because while she's still living in her father's house, before she was married, she was able to eat truma, she was able to eat chaz v'shok, she was able to have things that only a kohen could have. Once she marries Yisrael, though, she becomes a ktsas chalala, she's in the schalala ktsas, she already loses a little bit of that status of kahuna. She's not allowed to eat these kach, the chaz v'shok, she's not allowed to eat the truma. So it could be that if she's nisis the kohen, though, there would have been a havamina to say, she doesn't lose any of that status. And maybe the ability to be metameter relates to her kahuna status, that she has an elevated status of kahuna, that's why you're allowed to be metameter. But once she marries Yisrael, she loses it. But if she marries a kohen, so maybe there would have been a havamina that she wouldn't lose that status. And that's why, kamash malan, that has nothing to do with that. That no, she has someone else to take care of her now, so it's not the responsibility of her immediate family anymore, it's the responsibility of her husband, so that's why the family's not allowed to be metameter. And the right is that he says that when she's a basula, he's metameter, even though she's pasul mitruma. Let's say she's a mamzeres or a chalala. The halacha is he would still be allowed to be metameter, even though she's pasul. So you see that it has nothing to do with what she's entitled to eat or what kind of kahuna level she's on. When that has nothing to do with the halacha of the brother being metameter. So that's the extra chiddush or the extra point that the Rambam is emphasizing when he says even if she's nises lekohen. Okay, Vayitu in the Gemara Hakrova. So we're going to go back and look at the drasha, the way Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon had set it up. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon learned from the word hakrova l'rabus arusa shenizgarsha to tell us that if she had erusin and then she was divorced, that the kohen is allowed to be metami to such a sister as well. A sister at erusin was then divorced. But isn't Rabbi Shimon the one that made the rule that only a woman who would be allowed to marry a kohen gadol can the kohen hedyot be metame to her if she's his sister, and if she can't marry the kohen gadol, then the kohen hedyot cannot be metame to her? She's a grusha from Harrison. Even a kohen hedyot wouldn't be allowed to marry her. A kohen gadol is obviously not allowed to marry her. So now you're going to tell me that the brother's allowed to be metame to her? Says Gemara Shanias and Rabbi Rachman Akrova, special reboy in the pasuk. So if you have a special riboy in the pasuk, why don't you tell me that even if she's a mukaseitz, she say the same thing, that he should be able to be metameter? And so Gemara, krova achas veloshtayim. Krova is singular and not plural, so we can only make one riboy from the word krova, not two riboyim from the word krova. So Mari Isa, why did we choose to be marba in arusa shenizgarsha and not to be marba mukaseitz? Ha'asavad b'maisa, ha'lo'asavad b'maisa, because mukaseitz physically went through an ordeal. Something happened to her physically. So therefore, it's a greater effect on her, on her status, than someone who was in Arusa Shenizgarsha, where physically nothing happened to her, just something happened to her status, where she became an Eishes Ish, and then she lost the status of Eishes Ish. It's interesting, the drasha we use, krova achas veloshtayim, that krova is singular, not plural. The mitzvah Eisen in the back of the Gemara points to a sugyam b'choros, taf yud chesem beis. The Gemara in b'choros talks about the chiv of egla rufa. You find a mace between two cities, so which Beis Din has to do the whole procedure of Egla Rufa? The city that is Krova, the city that's closer. Says Machlokas in the Sugya and Bechoros, what if you have two cities that are equally close? It's Mamish right in between. So there's Machlokas, do we darshan Krova velo Krovos? If you find Mechuvan ben Shtei Ayaros, do they both bring an Egla Rufa? Do you bring Shtei Agalos? So Reb Lazar holds Krova filu Krovos, and you bring Shtei Agalos. What do you mean, krova filu krovos? Our Gemara says krova means achas velo shtayim. So how could you say krova vafilu? We have machlokas tanaim over there. Then maybe it's krova vafilu krovos that you're going to bring. Shtei agalos. So that's the source. Egla Rufa is the source for the sugim of Basra, and talks about that we're often used to the concept of using rov as a determinant in halacha. This Egla Rufa is the source that karov is also a determinant in halacha. That what's closest also makes a difference in very limited circumstances because you can't have rubat the alma, whatever. That's the whole sugi of Rov Vakarov. But anyway, so in the Masifti, I don't think he's quoting from the Mitzvah, but he just says, Bepashtis, you could just say that that it's a totally different din. Over there, Krova implies that Afilu Shtei Krovos Peshava, they're both Karov. But over here, we're coming to be Marbis something from Krova. We're not just teaching the word. Over there, it's Taich of the word. Krova means the closest city. Okay, so there are two closest cities. Over here, we're using it as a ribui, that it's an extra word in the Pasuk, so we're coming to be Marba. So you can't be marbet two halachos from an extra word in the pasuk. That's what he suggests. Rabbi Yossi midashavke lebarzugei mechal du mukas eitz krameris virle. Now Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to mukas eitz, he doesn't argue. Rabbi Shimon alone argues in the case of mukas eitz. So apparently, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who were originally a team, when they spoke about in the first halach in the Braisa, when they spoke about a case of achoso arusa, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon were on the same team. They both said ein metamela, and yet when it comes to Mukas 8, it was only Rabbi Shimon who said ein metamela, but Rabbi Yossi said metamela. So what happened over there? Why did Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon split from each other over there? So it says Rabbi Yossi and Shafkei the Barzugei, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are no longer agreeing with each other with when it comes to Mukas 8, Machal de Mukas 8's Krameris Filei. That implies that when it comes to Mukas 8, Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Meir that when it comes to Mukas 8, that he can be metamei to her, like Rav Meir says, not like Rav Shimon says that he cannot be metamei to her. So minale, where does he know that? Milo haisal ish. For he uses lo haisal ish to teach that he's allowed to be metamei to mukas eitz. Va pikte, but didn't Rav Yossi already use that phrase to be motzi in arusa? So chad milo haisa v'chad mila ish. Yeah, but one drush is from lo haisa that comes to exclude an arusa, and the ish is what comes to exclude a mukas eitz. That only if she was if she lost her besulim to a man. But if she lost her besulim to an accident, to being a mukaseit, so that's the other drasha to exclude a mukaseit. A love l'rabos habogeres. We then said a love comes to include a bogeres, and he's allowed to be metame to his sister who's a bogeres. A kohen hediot could be metame to his sister who's a bogeres. V'am Rabbi Shimon besula besula shleima mashma. Aye, but doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold that besula means a fully intact besula? So how can you say that he's allowed to be metame to bogeres? She's not a besula. Taima didei nami hasam mehacha. The reason that we assume besula means besula shleima is from here. Didarishachim midei love l'rabos habogeres mechal de besula besula shleima mashma. From the fact that I need the word a love to be marba bogeres, it shows me that the word besula would have excluded a bogeres, which shows me that the word besula means that the besula needs to be fully intact and that it can't be a partial besulim. Period. Now the Gemara is going to move on to the next discussion. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Omer, Gioris Pchusim Vashaloshon V'yom Echad, Ksheir Lakuna. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai holds that if you have a woman who converted at a very young age, under the age of 3 years old in one day, she is allowed to marry a Kohen. Shenemar V'kolataf B'nashim Asholo Yodu Mishkav Zachar Hachiyu Lachem. Now the Pasuk says that all of the young girls that were never with a man, they're, you can keep them alive. Vare Pinchas Imahem, and they keep them alive means Mistama Hachiyu Imahem, means lachem. They're for you. You can marry them. And Pinchas was amongst the group. So if Pinchas was amongst the group, he's a kain. So how is he allowed to marry? Must be that pchusim b'shalosham yomechad you're allowed to marry. V'rabbanan, how would the rabbanan respond to that? La'avadim l'shvachos. Hachiyu lachem doesn't mean to marry them. It means keep them as avadim and shvachos. That's all it means. So it's nothing to do with about marriage. I hachi b'shalosham yomechad nami. Well, then the halacha should be the same if she's over the age of 3 years old. If it's just la'avadim. Adam Lushvachos. As the Mark the Rav Huna Rabbi, Rav Huna has the following stira. Ksiv Kalisha Yodas Ishlam Mishkav Zachar Arogu. It says that any woman who was ever with a man, you kill. Ha'eni Yodas Kimu. But if she was never with a man before, you can keep her alive. Mechlal Da Taf Bein Yadu Bein Lo Yadu Kaimu. That implies that very young girls, whether they were or were not with a man, you can keep them alive. Yet we have another pasuk for Kalataf Benashim Asher Lo Yadu Mishkav Zachar Achilachem. Who do you keep alive? The very young girls that were Lo Yadu, that were never with anybody. Hayadi Arogu. That implies the very young girls that had been with a man, you would kill. So it's a stira in the pasuk. Do you kill a very young girl who was with a man? Do you not, or do you not? Savi Omer Bruuyu Liba Elakasu Medaber. Asher Yadu doesn't mean that they were actually with a man. It means that it's Ruuyu Liba El, that she's Ruuy to have Bia. Tanya Nami Achim of Bryce, it says like this: V'kalisha Yudas Ish Bruuya Lebal Akasamidaber. When it says Kalisha Isha Yudas Ish Lemishkav Zachar, you kill. That means someone who's Ruuya Lebal, who's already yet of age to be Boel. But Einachinami, if she's a younger girl, if she's not yet of age, then you would never kill her. Ata Omer Bruuya Lebal Oenu Ela Nivel Mamish. But how do you know that it means Ruuya Lebal? Maybe it means be a mamish. Kishu Omer, when it says V'kalataf Benashma Shalo Yodu Mishkav Zachar Haviyom Ruuya Lebal. When it says all the young girls that lo yadu mishkav zachar, clearly that means that we're not ra'u yet liba'el. Mina yadi, how do they know? They have birth certificates, they're going to check exactly how old the girl is, they know if she's ru'i liba'el or not. How would they be able to tell? It helps to have a tzitz. So they were mavir in front of the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. Kol shepaneh morikos biyadua she ru'i liba'el. If her face turned a greenish complexion, then you knew that she was of age, that she's ru'i liba'el. Kol shein paneh morikos biyadua she'in ru'i liba'el. If her face did not turn a greenish complexion, then you knew that she's not Ru'uya Libal yet. Amrav Nachman, Simon Lavera Hidroken. That Hidroken is a Simon for Avera. So if you know that she's someone who's really bald, she's at that age, so that's why the greenish complexion would come up in that case. Now the Mishnah Melech is a very sharp kasha. What was our raya that a girl under the age of that is Megayer under the age of 3? What was the raya for Shimon Bar Yochai that she's allowed to marry a Kohen? Because Pinchas was in the group and Pinchas was a Kohen. Mishnah Melech points out, according to Rabbi Shimon, she's a Guyaris Chusim Vashal Shanim is Mutaris Lukuna. How could the Benos Midian have been Mutaris Pinchas anyway? He was a Meshuach Melchama. The Gemara says, Sotadaf Mim Gimel Amral. So he wasn't just a Kohen. He was a Kohen Gadol. He's Kohen Meshuach Melchama. And the Rambam Paskins in the 17th parak of Yisuri Bia, that a Meshuach Melchama is the din of a Kohen Gadol, he's Mitzuvah and a Basula. So even if she's not a Zona, so she's not an Asr to every Kohen, but she's still Asr because she's a Bu'ula, especially if you assume that Katana is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, because when she's a Katana, she's not Konos, and when she's a Gadola, she's already a Bu'ula, so he's Asr B'Katana. So how could Pinchas marry her B'Katnus with less than Shalosh Shanim? He's a Mishloch Melcham, he's Asr B'Katana. So that's a Mishloch Melch sharp cash. Okay, he deals with it, he gives a couple of terutim. Vaitu says Gemara, Keyotzi B'davrata Omer, V'yimtsu Miyosh Ve'yavish Gilad Arba Meos Nara B'Sula, Asher Lo Yadu Ish L'Mishkav Zachar. Mino Yadi, how do they know that these girls of Yavish Gilad were Lo Yadu Ish L'Mishkav Zachar, that they had never slept with a man? How would they know that? How would they know if the girls are Basula or not? Amrav Kano Shivim Al Pichavish Al Yayin. They would stand there on top of a barrel of wine. This trick is recorded in Maseches Ksuvos as well. Bu'ula Recha Nodev. If she's a Bu'ula, then the aroma of the wine could be smelled on her breath. Besula ain recha nodev, but if she's a besula, then when she stands over a barrel of wine, you cannot smell the aroma of the wine on her breath. Frak the Gemara, but didn't we have a better trick to tell what she is and what she isn't? V'navrinu l'vnei tzitz, let her go in front of the tzitz, let the tzitz tell us. So I'm Rav Kana Breid of Nasan, l'ratzon lahem ksiv, l'ratzon v'lo l'pranas. It says l'ratzon lahem that it's only for ratzon, it's not for pranas. The tzitz only does positive things, not bad things. These are Jewish girls over here, so it's not going to tell us who's a bu'ula. Ihachi b'midyanami, so that by Midian it should also not be for Piranhas. Why is it by Midian it's determined who's Ra'ui Labia and who's not? Amravashi Lahem Ksiv. It's a Ratzon Lahem for the Jewish people. Lahem L'Ratzon V'lo L'Pranhas L'Ovdei Chavim Afil L'Pranhas. So the Tzitz can give Piranhas to Ovdei Chavim, but it's not going to give Piranhas to Benos Yisrael. So that's why M'lo Rome asked the Kasha, that Nar Chlaneras Kasha, all the Acharim asked the Kasha, what kind of questions am I asking? Let her go in front of the Tzitz. Do we know that the tzitz will tell you if she's a ba'ula or a basula? The previous test was not to tell if she was a ba'ula or basula, was to test if she was of age that's ra'i labia or not ra'i labia. How does the Gemara just assume that the tzitz would tell us whether she's a ba'ula or a basula as well? So Mala Ram suggests that why is it that by the Benos Midian they're panem or rikos? What did they do wrong? They didn't do any aveira. Being ra'i labia, being of age that's ra'i labia, means that she's an avarian of some sort. Well, why was it that panem or rikos in the first place? So he says, it must have been because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer that they're going to be punished, that they're going to be killed. Anyone who's right, Libya is going to be killed. So the Poneh Marikos was from the Pachad of the Onesh. It was from the fear of being punished. And even though maybe they didn't know about the Onesh, but Mazalam Yadu, there was some premonition that people have sometimes that something bad is happening. And that's what caused Poneh Marikos. So he says that's what caused all those who Ru'uyas Libya to be Poneh Marikos. Ah, so if that's the case, by the Benos Yavishkel, also, since the gezeira was that the nivalos are going to be yamusu, so the same mazel, the same panem marikos should have applied. That same premonition should have happened. It wasn't about that the tzitz is able to tell whether she's that the tzitz is only able to tell whether she's ruia lival or not ruia labia, but is not able to tell whether she's a basula or ba'ula. No, what the tzitz does is it creates the sense of pachad. The sense of pachad is what creates panem marikos. So whenever you're about to be killed, that same sense of pachad is going to be created. Amr Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidi, Amr Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Alach Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. We pass in like Rabbi Shimon. Actually, we'll pick up from that tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from Yaakov Bar Yidi tomorrow with how to pass in this machlokas.